This is the Alien UFO Podcast, episode 174, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And you can enjoy the extended version of this episode ad-free, along with over 160 hours of extended episodes on Patreon. This week, I'm talking to Yossi Ronan about his book, One, Face-to-Face Contact, Experiencing ET Consciousness and Human Consciousness Evolution. Yossi has had face-to-face encounters and communication with several aliens who appeared in his room when he lived for about a year in 1981 in Los Angeles. For 2 years, he has written articles in Alternative magazine in Israel. His book is a summary of about 40 years of study and research in the world of spirit, cognition, culture, and the human spirit in the face of contact with the visitors. Hi, Yossi. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast.
So we're going to talk about your book. It's called One, Face-to-Face Contact, Experiencing ET Consciousness and Human Consciousness Evolution. Can you tell us about how this all started? Because I think you say that, was it you found yourself within a dream that was taking place outside your body?
Yeah, that was the beginning. First, it was more than 40 years ago. It was 81. Now I'm living in Israel, but then I was a year in the United States. I worked with my brother for a year in the valley. And it happened the afternoon when we came back from work. The contact happened in two phases of my consciousness. What I mean is that the aliens or the, you know, the visitors, these intelligent beings made the contact with me with two different situations of me aware of them. In the beginning, it started when I was resting on the bed and falling asleep, and they came to me in what we call now out-of-body experience. And after the experience that I'm out of the body and with them, they were in the room, I woke up from that experience, opened my eyes, and they were still in the room. So I wanted to say that in the beginning, so it won't confuse the listeners.
Yeah.
So the contact started when I go to my bed to rest. I closed my eyes and suddenly I find myself out of my body for the first time in my life. You know, I was young. I was only 20 years old. I was not aware of this kind of things like out of body or stories about aliens or UFOs then. You know, there were no internet then, and I didn't know about this subject at all. So when I was out of my body, I suddenly saw myself sleeping on the bed. It was like I'm watching my bed from near the ceiling from above. And in that situation, I felt very good to be out of my body. I was very light and with a very calm feeling and good feeling that I'm out of my body. In that situation, I was aware that I'm out of my body. When I woke up after that, I did not think it was out of body. I thought it was a dream. But after you know, a couple of years that I heard about out of body experiences, I understood that I was in the out of body. But when I was into the out of body, my mind was very opened and aware of what's going on. So I looked at my body and I knew that I am now out of my body and the body is sleeping. And you know, the first understanding or experiencing of that is that you are not only your body. And it's a very strong and good feeling to know that.
It sounds like somebody who has a near-death experience. That's the kind of thing they say when they're out of their body. They feel really good.
Yes, and there are many similarities because the same thing is happening. It's like your real self, you can call it soul or, you know, only consciousness, or is out of the body that was containing you before. It's like we usually used to be aware of ourselves only through the body, the senses, the mind, the brain, and we are totally thinking about ourselves as our body. But when you go out, like in a death, near-death experience or out of the body, you in instant realize that you first is a consciousness, and then there is a body that you were inside of it before, and now you are out of the body. And it's a very good, yes.
So you were outside of your body, and there were these people in the room, kind of like ETs. Is that right?
Yes. This is the first time that I saw them. When I looked at my body from above, I could see one of the creatures standing nearby, near my head, concentrating in my head, or my body, you know, my head was turned to the wall with eyes closed. And he was standing there, and there were a couple more. I think there were four or five in the room. The other creatures were walking in the room, touching stuff, walking on the carpet. They looked to me very curious and very joyful in a way. They were like kids that entering a new place, see, watch, and experience. And it seems that they were like their first time, probably, that they are into a body, walking in our 3D world, in my room. And for them, it was a new sensation. I realized that they can go in and out of body, and they can like made themselves a body that they can use to be in our 3D world, and they can go out of this body, and the body can disappear. It's like they can move their consciousness and their body out of our dimension.
Did they look like ETs? They look like aliens, or were they much more human looking?
Well, they look very similar to the grays, but their color were green. And, you know, after the contact, I was looking for pictures and this kind of stuff of them, and I didn't find. I thought maybe I saw a picture of them, and I imagined to myself, it took a couple of years until the book Communion with the Face of the Unknown was on the cover, that I realized that I'm not alone. Then I thought I am the first one that see these creatures. And yes, they looked similar to the grays. They were like height of a children, a big head and a very big black eyes, a very long hands with very long fingers. They were very gentle. They didn't have any hair. And the skin was not smooth. It was a little bit curly, you say, or it was not smooth, the skin. And they didn't have any nose. They had the two holes in the place of the nose and two holes in the place of the ears on the head. And in that time that I'm still out of my body, everything was all right for me. I mean, I didn't felt any weirdness in that situation. It seems like I know them.
In the book, you kind of say that you felt like you knew them like they were childhood friends of yours, like you'd met them before.
Yes, the memory of who are they exactly didn't remain after that. But what I felt, I remember the feeling that they are like a friend from childhood, something like that. Like I know them and I didn't see them for a long time. And we were like know each other, and we were like in a way like playful, like children with each other. We were laughing in a way.
When you first came out of your body and you could see them there, did they respond to you, or did they just carry on what they were doing as though you weren't there?
We had a very smooth connection in that situation. We had this telepathic communication. They don't talk. They didn't talk with me, but they didn't need to. We were like aware of each other thoughts and emotions and experience and thinking. And we were like communicating without words. It's like the way they communicate is something that the most word that close to it is telepathy, but it seems that the telepathy, maybe the essence of telepathy is contacting consciousness to each other. It's not like sending and receiving information, like we talk or we listen and talk to each other, but the communication is using the ability to contact your consciousness to the other. And they do it very naturally. And in that situation, I had that ability too. It was very easy, probably because I was out of my body. And when you are out of your body, you know, you don't see from your eyes and you don't hear from your ears. The senses don't limit your real consciousness. And it seems that the real consciousness, telepathy, is very simple and natural for the consciousness to do.
So you said that you were laughing along with them. Were you having fun? Were there jokes?
Yeah, but I don't remember about what. We were like happy in a way, and like it's what I don't know if it was jokes or what. I remember the last thing before I woke up, that we all looked at my body sleeping there, and the laugh was about this body of mine that is like is not aware of what's going on. And it was laughing in a way. I don't know why, but it made them and me laugh about this body that is so unaware of what's going on.
So what happens next?
In the last seconds, I knew that I should go back to my body. I don't know if I should or I will. I knew that I'm going back to my body. So I wake up from the body. I open my eyes because I heard a noise in the room. I heard a weird noise that I didn't recognize. And I remembered the out of body that I had a second before. And I thought, what a weird dream I had now about that I'm out of my body. I see my body sleeping and green creatures walking in the room, and we were laughing and this kind of stuff, and there were love to each other like friends. And I thought to myself, where this weird dream came from? And But I heard the noise in the room, and it seems like there are people walking on the floor there. And I remember that I locked the door, started to be a little bit tense about that. Maybe a thief came into the room. So I turned around, I sat on the bed and watched what's going on. And the first sight gave me the most fearful feeling that I have in my life, because I saw a half meter from me, this green creature that I saw before standing near my face now, watching at me with these black eyes. And I was totally, totally shocked and frozen from fear, because I didn't know what's going on. I thought that maybe I continue to dream, and I thought that I wake up. So I pinched myself and the pain and realized me that I'm totally awake. And the other creatures were standing in the room too. They were standing looking at me all together. I don't know if they plan to do that in this way, that I will wake up once again and see. I mean, I didn't know if they plan to see me out of my body and then from being awake and from the body, but this is what happened suddenly. And they were a little bit like they didn't know what to do. They were standing and looking at me. And I started to hear like a noise in my head that felt like they are going inside my head in a way. I mean, I felt a strong fear. I was frozen totally from fear. I couldn't move. I even almost couldn't breathe from fear. And I thought that maybe I got crazy, or that if it's real and these green creatures are standing there, it's frightened, no less frightening. And the noise that I heard from in my head was like I realized that it's from them, like they are penetrating my head and like I hear a noise of because of them. And that gave me even a stronger fear, because I felt very weak and small near them. And I didn't know what to do.
So when this was happening, it was like they were making a connection with you, but it was your fear that was blocking it?
Exactly. What happened is that because I was so much in a state of shock and fear, because this is something that I never saw before, these creatures, and I didn't heard before, and I was afraid that I'm out of my mind, or if it's real that these creatures now are standing in my room, it's even frightened more, because I can feel that they are strong under me and I'm frozen and they are penetrating my brain. And because I didn't knew what to do, I didn't any other thing to do, I tried to remember the feeling that I have a minute ago with them, that we were okay with each other. I remember that we were laughing and we were like knew each other. So I thought to myself, maybe the fear that I feel now, it's only my fear. And there is no bad attention from them. It's only my fear. And as I thought about that, and I started to relax my fear and not to pay attention to my fear, be concentrated in my fear, I started to realize that this noise that I'm hearing in my head, it's there trying to talk to me in the same telepathy like before. And as the fear lowered even more, I started to, all the noise translate to be like communication. And then I could hear them, I could know them, and I could feel them just exactly as they are aware of me. And they were aware of my fear, and they were aware of my confusion, they were aware of my that I'm very afraid and frozen, and they were in a way worried for me that I will not be damaged from that, because they were very, once again, they were very gentle and they didn't want to hurt me in any way.
You had that out-of-body experience where everything seemed very happy and familiar. And then after waking up and you're back in your bed, suddenly you're very scared. Was there any kind of thought in your mind of, look, hang on a second, they were happy just now. And so you didn't need to be so scared.
Yes, this exact thought relaxed me, that maybe the fear is mine. And when I checked with myself, I realized that this is exactly what's happening. I have an instinctively body fear from them. It's like you are standing near a big lion and you see his big teeth and he opened his mouth, very, very ancient fear, instinctive fear of something that you are not understand, and it's new for you and you don't know if it's good or bad. That was the first impression when I opened my eyes, that and in the years I realized that fear is happening to every person, almost everyone, that see them face to face in full conscious. The body frequency is so different or lower than their frequency that the body is totally in a fear of death.
Yeah, like you say, it's maybe part of evolution from before we were really intelligent. It was a safety mechanism so we didn't get too close to the lion.
Of course, yes, exactly. And especially if you are not aware, if you don't familiar with that thing that you see, it could be very dangerous. So the first thing that your body in the jungle learn is if it's something that you are not, you don't know, and it's weird, and it's, he's looking at you and he is like almost controlling you, be afraid, go run. So this is what I felt.
Did they look different between when you were out of body and when you saw them when you woke up?
Not so much. They will look the same. I think that they do that on purpose, or if it was not on purpose, I learn a lot about me as a human and about them because of these two different situations, because I could realize how is my consciousness that is not from the body is aware to reality with them or without them. And then how is the same consciousness that was totally open and totally wide is now very limited and very totally different consciousness, even if you see the same thing in front of you. And it helped me to learn about, for instance, about our consciousness and the telepathy, how it works, and the very important thing that the ability to be telepathy, to have the telepathy with others is not so difficult for the body. It's very natural, but hidden from us, because the telepathy continued. Even that I was awake and totally conscious from my body, and I felt the same telepathy. Of course, after I let myself and relaxed myself, and I could be open to that telepathy with them, because the fear blocked it. you should, you know, I mean, you can do that only if you are relaxed and in a positive feeling and awareness. And then you are open.
I think you say in the book that the ET, if you, I think you call them visitors, don't you?
Yes.
That when it connected with you, it felt your pain. And it was almost like this was so unfamiliar to them.
Totally. I think it's connected to that they are in their main essence. They don't have to be in a body. I mean, usually, probably, I understand that from them later on, that they don't need a body like us. I mean, they are conscious like us. They are intelligent being like us. But the body is something that they use to be in a physical dimension. What I mean is that their essence is not limited to the physical dimension. And when they come here, it seems that they have, if they want to make a connection to something like, you know, human and to have a telepathy with him, they have to have a body and very close and similar to human body to communicate with him. Yeah, they do it for us. They don't need it.
Is there a point you ask them if they're from another planet and they thought that was funny?
Yeah. And they... you know, the answer, that was my like first question with myself to them. Who are you? Where you came from? Did you come from a different star? And their answer was amazing, because they didn't answer with words. They answering like with your experience, like they share their consciousness to your consciousness, and they let you by your own will to be open to the answer. Like, look for the answer yourself. And I like they are saying, we are totally open for you. And they were like the way they were connected and open with me, they were connected to each other. And the answer that I get from their consciousness was that for me, the most far away place and far away being is a being from a different star. And that's why I thought that they are from a different star. But actually, they are from a different dimension. And this is the way I translate it only. I mean, the feeling or the thought that they are from another star is my human translation of something that I'm not aware or know, like different dimension. And I in the time I realized that one of the main important things that we do with our consciousness when we are trying to remember our consciousness that was out of the body or in a near experience, that the consciousness is totally free of the body and is aware of this great oneness of consciousness. When you go back to your body and think once again, and your consciousness once again is from your brain, the brain has to translate it in your familiar way of thinking. So this is something that gives many answers to many things.
When you connected to them, was it that then you could get an idea of how they interact with their environment? You could get an idea of what they comprehend?
Yes, of course. This is the most interesting thing, I think, and the most curious thing that I felt when I realized that they are open and I can like be I can experience the consciousness. Because once again, it's not talking, it's like experiencing, and they let me have their consciousness. It means that I can hear what they are thinking. They are not blocking that. I can feel what they feel, and I can even be aware of their way of experiencing reality, what they think about reality, and what are the... And the first thing that I felt from them was an amazing feeling of relaxation. It's like they are calm, very, very calm. Very... the opposite of to be nervous or anxious or something like that. They were totally relaxed. And they were, in a way, very joyful and happy. And it was, it doesn't have a real reason to be, you know, it's like, when I am happy, I usually happy because something happened, you know. I'm happy because this and that. But they were happy like, you know, like small children that are playing, and they are happy because they can breathe, you know, like children. And they were like two. And that was very interesting to me, that I wanted to understand why they are so relaxed and why they are so happy. And I saw that, I mean, all the connection, I was concentrated on the one that was near me. And by him, I could be aware of the others because they were all connected. And what I saw, that they are connected to each other, but they don't, it's not like they are, have a one consciousness, or they have a one brain. Each one of them has his own personality, his own consciousness, but they were in a very natural and simple way connected and very open to each other. And they didn't have any ego, totally. I didn't find any kind of an ego. And I think it's because they were so open to each other. So there is no place for like hide something or be ashamed of something or to lie about something and another thing that gave them that humbleness to be without an ego was that I realized when I go inside deeper and deeper to their consciousness, when I wanted to understand where this old happiness and relaxation came from, I saw that they are aware of something that is very strong and beautiful and loving. And I didn't know what it is. It's like I didn't understand what it is. But I realized that for them, it's the thing that gave them life. It's the thing that gave them the ability to do what they do. And they are aware that this immense power of love and light, or I don't know how to express it, is giving life to everything, even to me and to the universe itself. A couple of years later, I could give it the name God, but it took me a long time to say the word God, because the situation that I felt that into them, from them, was totally different from what we think about God, or what, at least what was my, you know, what they teach me in school when we studied the Bible, and the teacher talk about God and we talk about God, and it was not even similar to that experience. So I didn't thought that maybe our culture, in a way, in the history of our culture, people have that experience of that light, and we simply gave it the name God. And after that, when I started to read the Bible, because I was not interested in religious at all before, I started to realize that the Bible is really, really aware of that light. And but they don't teach it in school, you know. It's like they teach us the Bible in the way it's written and in a very, very limited way. It's like to teach Bible to people that they don't have intelligent at all, and they have to tell them the Bible like a story. So it's not that I became religious, but I'm aware of God totally. And I really appreciate people that believe in God and they are religious. It's okay for me.
Well, can I ask you about something else there that happened?
Yeah.
You say that you saw yourself in a large field of green grass and trees, and it was a pleasant day. But then what happened next?
Yes, that was the warning. And this is part of the contact that they did with me before they left. Because even that the contact was very strong, it was too strong. I mean, I could, to be awake, aware from a waking body with eyes open to see them was very a hard thing for my body to do. For my soul or conscious, it was okay and I was very happy, but the body was still frozen. Even that I relaxed my mind, the instinct behave of my body was it was hard for it. So they decided to go because they felt my pain. And a minute before they went, they did something a little bit different than what they did before with my consciousness. All the time till then, they gave me to be open to their consciousness and to have it. But for that thing that they want me to see, they changed the way we are communicate, and they started to like showing me a situation like a movie that I'm inside the movie, and I see what's going on from inside, and I suddenly see myself in a beautiful forest and green grass and trees and blue sky, and a couple of cows near me were walking on the grass and eating the grass very calmly, and suddenly I hear a very strong roar from far away, and I look at the horizon and I see a fire, a strong, big, high fire above the trees, come from afar in a very fast motion, come and burn everything, all the trees, the grass, and even the cows. And what I felt was a very, very bad emotion from that. It seems that this vision of destruction is after years after that I started to hear and read about other experiences. I heard that this kind of a vision happened almost to everyone that contacted them. And the thing is that it's not, they don't give, this is what I think. I don't think that they are giving you a prophecy of something that will happen. I'm sure that what they are meaning with that vision or sight is that they want us to be aware that we are in a potential dangerous situation with our environment. And not only with the environment, it seems that the real warning for them, from them, is that we have to change our awareness and consciousness about our reality so this kind of thing will not happen.
Then what happened? Was it that they felt like it's bad? It was something about connecting to you was affecting them negatively, so they had to disconnect?
Yes. What happened that the contact itself was very hard to my body to have, and I felt physically bad, not emotionally and not intellectually, but physically very bad. And they like felt it. They felt anything that I'm feeling because they were connected to my consciousness. They were connected to everything that is going on in my body and my mind. And for them, fear and pain was something that they didn't knew. It was new for them. Because it seems that they are in an environment that probably is not like our physical world, that we have the opportunity to have this kind of senses, pain or fear or things like that. And another thing that they were in a fear that they're going to damage me in a way, because that my fear is going so high and so strong. And another thing, that they were aware that was probably a dangerous thing for me, that they knew, is that when I came inside their consciousness and went deep and deep to their consciousness, and I had the chance to have the experience to have this loving, like when we say now, God, and I tried to understand it in a rational and logical way, they were afraid that I'm going to damage my brain or my senses or something. It seems that my brain or don't have the capacity to realize or to have the communication with that light, because he cannot have it. He don't have the capacity to realize that that strong like energy or something like that, and they didn't want something bad that will happen to me because of that. And that was the second reason that they felt bad for me, and they felt that dangerous thing. And they just after that went and gone and stopped the communication.
So do you know why they chose you? Why were they in your room?
Well, I don't think that it was something special in me. Probably it was a combination of a couple of things. I think one of the reasons was that the place, this physical place, that place was like something that was easy for them to make the appearance in our dimension. Because I heard many, many people in that area, exactly in the valley, in that area, that have a similar experience. You know, every experience is different, but the people are aware it's not a usual experience. This is one thing. And another thing probably there is something in our connection between body and soul or spirit that is can give you much more ability to experience your out of body or near death experience and then come back. It seems that like there are people that if they have a thin border between their body and soul, sometimes they can have a communication between them and remember that. You know, if you're doing a very deep meditation, you start to have the ability to do that. And probably they decided to do that in that same place and time that I was ready for that, because they didn't came once again and I was not ready once again to have this contact face to face like the first time.
So there's a sentence I picked out in the book. I think they say to you, "We look to you now in the way you choose and able to see, but we have no definite form."
Yes, yes, this is exactly. I wrote it in a manner of automatic writing. Automatic writing is in a way of try to write on the paper without the brain totally. I mean, you have to be in a control of your hand and that holding the pen and writing, but in a way, if you want to have information from your out of your body, you have to like lower the control of the brain on your body. And if you train, you can get to a situation that you started to write on the paper without really understand it in the same situation because your head is off. I mean, your head is almost out of your body, but your hand is still writing. And sometimes it became to be a very, very important and interesting writing that you get from that situation. And in that situation, I had a question to them about the why I saw them the way they look. I want them to explain to me in a way that I can understand this thing. I mean, why did they look to me like they look, and for other they look different, and one have a good experience with them and other have a different and a bad and that was the way that they explained it to me. What they meant by this writing is that that me as a human in a body that using the brain have to translate the non-physical information or experience to physical information. And in the way I'm translating what I see as a non-physical to a physical, and I give it a frame that I can handle. And it seems that I saw them in a good experience because in a way I translate the good flow of telepathy between us. And that's why they look good for me, because I was in a good communication even when I was waking up from the out of body and I saw them with my eyes open. And what they explain is that their real essence is not physical, but they can come here to be in a physical form. And And part of the way they look to us is our translation. I mean, they are they don't really have a body. I, in a way, translate their essence as a small body of a child with a green skin and big black eyes. And, maybe because I heard that there are stories that people, there are stories like the UFOs has crashed and they found bodies. And how come if they are so spiritual and not, don't have a body, how come that there were findings of body? What I think is that because they have the ability to come here to be in the physical form, if something happened like, an accident or something like that, and they don't have the time to go back to their dimension, they leave their body as it was. And then we find a body, like a dead man. I mean, we are the same. We are a soul with a body. And when our soul is going out, we leave the body behind. And this is the answer for how come that they can be physical and not physical, because this is a strong question now between the researchers, that some say that they are physical and some say, they are totally spiritual. And some say that they came only from a different dimension, and some say that they came from a different star. And what I think is that this all are truth, because they can go in and out of a physical form. And if they are, a very developed civilization in a different star, and they got to the situation that they can go out of that dimension and make, go to other dimension and come to our dimension once again, they are physical from a different star and from a different dimension. It's not a contradiction.
There was something else in the book. You say in the book that there was this time you were dreaming that you were sitting in a lecture hall with one of the visitors. Is this, do you think, just a dream or something that really happened?
Well, it was a very, very special dream. I mean, I dream a lot, and I know when the dream is an ordinary dream or a special dream. And that dream, I had two or three dreams that were a very special dream, that the visitors used the dream to communicate with me once again, instead of meeting with me face to face, because I didn't want once again to have a face to face contact. Maybe I will when my body will be ready for that, and I will do what I have to do or what we have to do to communicate with them face to face, but still I'm not. So they came in a dream because I had many, many questions to them. And in that dream, it was a very interesting and very detailed and long dream that they teach me a lot about our consciousness and our body, our fear. And this dream gave me, years of writing, only that dream.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. The book's called One, Face-to-Face Contact, Experiencing ET Consciousness and Human Consciousness Evolution. And people can get that on Amazon, can't they?
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
And do you have a website?
Yes. The name of the website is oneyossiRonan.com.
Fantastic. And thanks again for being a guest.
Well, thank you, Simon, for your invitation. Thank you very much.
And that was an interview with Yossi Ronan about his book, One, Face-to-Face Contact, Experiencing ET Consciousness and Human Consciousness Evolution. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon, where you can get exclusive access to the extended version of this episode. Just go to patreon.com/alienUFO podcast. When you sign up, you get access to the episodes in the back catalogue, and they are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And if you want to try out the extended episodes, you can now get a 7-day free trial. And please check out my new book. It's called Verified Near-Death Experiences, and it's on Amazon. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.